Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, guys? It's your boy Dylan at Thunderjazz, and I'm here with a word from our sponsors, BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports contests and events with first-to-market odds and lines. Find reviews and news for every league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, and futures. Just head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to join today and make your first sports bet. Use our promo code BLEAV50, that is BLEAV50 in all capital letters, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And welcome in, everybody, to another edition of the Top of Thunder podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Hunsinger at Thunder Chats. We are part of the Believe Network, and I am joined by my compadre, my compatriot, the three cone himself, the man that has hit a million views on his YouTube, Connor. How's it going, Con?
It's going good, man. Like you said, hit a million views on YouTube, which is exciting. Best time in my channel's history, which is dope. It's crazy, bro. I can't believe there were a million times where someone looked at one of my videos and was like, yeah, I'm gonna watch that while I eat dinner or something like that. Like, I don't know, man. I've also had I've had a couple people tell me before that they've watched my videos to sleep, which I think is a compliment. I'll take it as a compliment. But yeah, bro, it's been crazy, man. And now we're only like 2.5, 3.5 weeks away from the season.
Something like that.
Yeah, like 3.5 weeks at this point away from the season starting. This has been the longest off season of all time. Like I can't remember the last time basketball happened.
Yeah, no, it's been a while, man. And in terms of like, you know, people like falling asleep, it's definitely because your voice is so soothing, not because you're kind of.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I also post content pretty light, so people probably just see that they're like, I'm going to watch this, and then they doze off, either because of my boring or soothing voice, or both. Either way, I'll take it.
Well, you know, as I say many times, a little peep behind the curtain, we was actually supposed to record last night. And speaking of being bored and being put to sleep, I was watching the Steelers-Browns game, waiting for my my co-host to be ready, and they were ready, and I was catching Z's. Woke up like 2 hours later and I was like, oh God, I hate myself.
I don't blame you, bro. You're watching Mitch Trubisky throw the football. You know, it's going to happen. I actually had a friend who I'd been texting all throughout the game who had like a bet on, it was like a power boost or something on FanDuel. And it was for like Najee and Chubb to each score a touchdown and the Steelers to cover a spread of plus 7.5. And it was covered. And then the fumble happened on that weird play at the end. And he texted me, he's like, bro, the Steelers just lost me $200.
Man.
On his bet. So
that's rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. I woke up after the game ended and like, you know, at halftime, this is not topic Steelers or topic Browns, but I do just have to say at halftime, I was like pleased with our performance. I thought like, you know, despite the past couple of weeks, we have moved the ball well. We've taken shots downfield. And I think we was up by 1 point at that point. And I woke up and we scored a field goal and the Browns had scored like 17 extra points. I was like, okay, cool. Like what the heck happened? I had a buddy in fantasy who had Najee and was going against the Browns defense. And so that fumble, you know, the minus two Ooh, points for that.
That's a,
and
then that's the a defense, big hit. That's a
fumble recovery and a touchdown.
Nah, that's a killer. That's gonna put him out of it almost immediately. Oh my God.
It could literally be the difference. So yeah. But you know, like we said, you know, this isn't Top of Thunder, Top of Browns, Top of Football at all. This is the Top of Thunder podcast. And we're finally having some news start to come our way in Thunderland. You know, Media Day is this coming Monday. We're recording this on a Friday, so we're just a couple of days away from that. Sam Presti spoke to the media and Thunder fans alike for almost 2 hours yesterday, and we're going to get to that. But first, we're going to get to the news that dropped, I believe it was Wednesday. And it was that Shea has a grade 2 MCL sprain. And, you know, Cone, I you know, we all saw the tweet. I think it was Woj that put it out. And, you know, there wasn't a timetable with it or anything like that. So, like the first thought was just, like, basically like Murphy's Law. Like, everything that could go wrong is going wrong. Like, really, not again. Not us. We can't catch a break. Where was you when you saw the tweet, Cone? What was your reaction?
I was in line to go into a filming of I think it's called Late Night with Seth Meyers, his late night show. I'm with my girlfriend. Yeah, she managed to get us tickets. So we were in line waiting to go into that. And I was only like 30 minutes away from not having my phone for a few hours. So it would have been because it's like basically like the Pentagon when you go in there, when you get onto like the actual studio set, if they like see you take your phone out, like they will immediately escort you out. So if it had been like 30 minutes later, I would have missed it and then come out to it and see my phone blown up. And at that point, because a bunch of people were adding me in the tweet, and I knew like a grade 2 MCL sprain wasn't too bad. Like you would probably be fine. But people were adding me in it like it was like an ACL or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so if I had come out of the show and seen that, I probably would have thought like something horrific happened. And so I'm glad that I saw it before that. But yeah, the reaction was just like, why does this keep happening? Of course, you know, Chet's injury and then Shea's injury just, you know, a few weeks later. I know Presti said in the conference that he's not sure if Shea will be ready for the start of the season. Fingers crossed that he is. And if not, then, you know, take some time to get healthy and be ready for the season. Like Presti said, it could be worse. It could have been during the season where he didn't get to actually play. Of course, this also brings up like the problem of, I mean, he's been in the gym all summer, so it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, last season he came into the year after missing so much time with that foot injury, and he started kind of slow and stuff like that. So part of me is worried now that it might take him a little bit to get back to where he usually was. And he was on fire to end the season. So it sucks to see another injury like this kind of potentially mess up his rhythm. Fingers crossed that it won't. It didn't sound like it was that big of a deal. It sounded like it was just kind of a soreness type thing. That it'll just take some time to heal, you know, of course, doesn't need any surgery or anything like that. So, you know, fingers crossed he's able to come back in a decent bit of time. Sucks that he's going to miss training camp and potentially the first game of the season, but it doesn't sound like it'll keep him out for more than like maybe the first few games of the year, if that. So,
yeah. And, you know, for me, like, I just like, I didn't understand the context of grade 2 and sprain. I just saw MCL and like immediately, like, you know, like sirens just went off in my head. But okay, this is not good.
Anything with a CL just it's terrifying.
Any of those ligaments that, you know, if you're messing with the ligaments, like I don't like it. I'm not a fan, but I do think, and you know, we're gonna get into Presti's press conference here in a second, but you know, kind of touching on his comments from what he said about Shea, I think Presti added some much needed context to that injury, because, you know, a lot of people, like, their first reaction whenever they see that, they Google it and they're like, okay, so like, what's a timetable for recovery for grade 2 MCL sprain? And if you look it on Google, I think it says like 3 to 4 weeks, 5 to 6 weeks, something like that. You know, there's a timetable in there. But when Presti was asked, he was like, you know, That's it, you know, every person is different. Every person recovers differently. Like, you know, Shea is like a high class athlete. So yeah, his body's in better shape, but also like he's requiring more from his body than, you know, the average person. I think the way he put it was, he's requiring more from his body than somebody on WebMD is. So, you know, while the internet might say this, Shea could be back quicker because, you know, the type of athlete he is, the type of shape he's in, but he could also have to take a little bit more time because of how much he requires of that MCL. So yeah, it's, I'm interested to see what happens. I know that, you know, there was much debate on the timeline about how we should handle this. You know, it became much more philosophical in the which how the team is just handling, you know, tanking, rebuilding, whatever. But with Shea, I think the wisest course of action is, you know, like we said, there's different timetables. He can miss. He's expected to miss all of training camp. He can miss the first couple of games. He can miss the first few games. Honestly, he can miss like the first couple of weeks. Like we just don't know. But I think it's important that whatever, you know, the Thunder feel like Shea's going to miss, like they're going to be extremely cautious with him, because you already got Chet Holmgren out for the year. And Shea is like your franchise player. And as Presti also addressed later in the press conference, this isn't his first injury. This isn't his first lower body injury. And while he has addressed them saying that, you know, they're unrelated injuries, he doesn't think that it's a factor of durability, but you know, this is a thing that keeps happening. So, you know, once you get a lot of lower body injuries, then, you know, the structural integrity of your lower body starts to become compromised, and it could lead to some durability issues. So it's better to, you know, make sure that's fully recovered instead of try to push it, you know, a little bit quicker and damage yourself in the long run. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's all I got to say about it. So without further ado, man, let's get into this press conference, because, you know, there was some talk on Twitter from I don't even know the dude's at. He's a writer for the Knicks, Strickland, Knicks Film Room, something like that. His name's Riz. He had a lot of comments to say about Presti, basically saying everything he said was fluff. Like he used, I think he said buzzwords in order to excuse his tanking ways. But while Presti does wow the masses with his crazy vocabulary, he did have some stuff to say. We're going to talk about it in a segment we call Single Large Item. All right, Cone, I've been talking way too long here in this little rant here, so I'm going to let you start, man. What was your first single large item from Presti's preseason press conference, famously not a post-game press conference, like I said earlier?
Yeah, I think it was probably just the stuff he said about Shea and Dort. You know, the whole I tweet out the quote. I'm going to pull it up on my phone now so I get it right. But basically, you know, he was asked about, like, people saying, like, oh, like, what do you have to say about all these writers saying, like, making all the rumors and, like, the things about, oh, maybe Shea could be the next star player moved. Like, could the Knicks go for Shea? And the quote he said was, we love Shea. You can't get long-term results. Well, he was talking about Shea and Dort. He said, we love Shea. You can't get long-term results with short-term people. Neither of them, Dort and Shea, are short-term people. And that's why we've made long-term commitments to them. And later said, Shea has made a long-term commitment here. Also, you know, referring to Dort, too. So, you know, I think that just kind of once again goes matching everything that Shea has said, where Shea has said, you know, I'm committed here. This is where I want to be and stuff like that. He obviously signed that long-term extension. He knew what he was getting into with the rebuild and the situation. Sam Presti has reiterated it. And yet somehow people just don't understand it. It continues to come up. Like I see four different terrible Shea trades on my timeline, like every single day. So it keeps coming out. Like I saw one earlier that actually involved like Jay Crowder, who's in the news right now, because he tweeted out that he doesn't want to play for the Suns anymore, basically. But he was thrown in this trade package by someone. It was like Jay Crowder. I think we got like Cameron Payne back and like four first round picks for Shea or something like that. Like,
was that the three teamer with the Heat?
Yeah, it was something. Oh, we got Duncan Robinson's contract. Yeah, because we want to take on Duncan Robinson's albatross contract for our franchise player. And also, you know, give him up to the Heat and the Suns, two teams that are very good right now. So, you know, just trades like that. It's just, you know, as I can tweet about it all I want. I've tweeted about it. I've made YouTube videos about it, just basically talking about why Shea's not going to get moved and stuff like that. And, you know, people really don't pay attention to that. People continue to say what they're going to say. You know, people will also say stuff like, oh, like the Thunder are just like when Shea's injury came out, saying stuff like, oh, like this is another like example of the Thunder trying to tank and stuff like that. It's just people just really don't understand what's going on in OKC is kind of what I've accepted at this point. And it almost seemed like Sam Presti was exacerbated, like kind of by all of that. Like he was like, you know, the only reason we're hearing Shea's name come up is because Donovan Mitchell just got traded and he was like the big trade target. And now all the news outlets need to get their clicks. So they're like, who's the next target? Who's the next person that we can like talk about in a small market to go to a big one or something like that? And, you know, he mentioned like people being like, oh, could Shea go to the Knicks because, you know, Donovan Mitchell was maybe going to go there. And, you know, I think he has a lot of points there in that, you know, Shea is a guy that I think people are realizing. And I think people, a lot more people are going to realize it this season because I think he's going to have a phenomenal year, how good he is. And when you've got, you know, a franchise like the Knicks that, you know, didn't end up going for Donovan Mitchell the way that a lot of people thought they would end up with him, they're probably Shea and the Knicks are going to be linked for a while now because Shea is like the next rising star on a team that's not very good at the moment, even though we're trying to get better. And, you know, there's not many other names out there other than like LaMelo Ball, who I feel like could also get shoved into that with the, I think the Hornets are going to be terrible this year. So just, you know, it was kind of cool to see Sam Presti share our like, I don't know what the word for it is, just kind of share the struggle there and be like, yes, I have seen all the stuff. No, it is not true. Shea is here long term. We see him as a long term piece. Also, some Thunder fans saying like, oh, Chet's hurt now. Now, like, do we have to trade Shea because now things are pushed back another year? Like, just hearing Sam Presti say all that stuff was good. There was also one line that he said that he kind of like smirked after that I wanted to throw in here at the end. Like, he was like, he knew he dropped a bar there. I don't remember what it was. I'm going to look for it, but I'll do that while you kind of bring up your point.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Presti dropped a lot of, like, he smashes those one-liners like it's crazy. Like, he's insanely quotable. But, yeah, I really enjoyed, you know, him just kind of giving us that peace of mind with Shea. You know, really not telling us anything that we didn't already know. You know, we've heard from Shea, you know, say that, you know, he sees the vision. He's on board with the vision. We haven't seen any indication of him being unhappy, of him asking out, anything like that. And, you know, even like if you want to say, oh, there's stuff going on behind the scenes, all you have to do is point at the contract that he signed, a 5-year max with no player option. If you have 1 foot out the door, you are going to at least have a player option at the end of your contract. That's just, like, that's just business. That's business in the NBA. So, yeah, I'm glad Presti kind of put that to bed, you know, for the other NBA fans, even though they're just going to take it, you know, as they want to, and they're going to continue throwing him in these stupid fake trades. But at least, you know, he stands in solidarity with our suffering on that point. But I guess my first single large item, and it kind of came when he was first talking about Shea. You know, he was basically saying that, you know, I would be shocked at this point if he didn't say, like, come out and say, like, if Shea was unhappy or Shea requested a trade. He basically was just, he kind of left it there and let it linger. And he was like, and, you know, we have to prepare ourselves for that because it's happened before. But, you know, if it's going to happen again, and then he stopped a little bit and he was like, I would feel like it's not an accident. I would feel like, you know, there's a, it's not a coincidence at that point. And what I think he was referring to, like, I'm misquoting the crap out of him. I'm not using the words he was using, but it was something along those lines. And I think what he was referring to was how the CBA has, you know, in the past made it hard for us to keep our players. You know, first it was the Rose Rule with Russell Westbrook, and then it was the cap smoothing, with Kevin Durant and, you know, not being able to retain him. So, you know, we all know that the CBA is coming up. We're going to talk about that later in the show as well. I think 2023 offseason, there's rumors that it could be agreed upon as soon as December of this year. But we all know that's coming up, and we all know that it's screwed us over multiple times. And we all know that, you know, the Thunder are going to do everything they can not to be screwed by that again. So I think that in so many words, Presti made it known that, like, you know, we have a plan, like, we have a vision, and you know, obviously Shea's on board. Nobody has expressed any displeasure or any desire to be out, or, and there's no other reason other than them being, you know, having displeasure that we would ever send them out, that they would not be a part of this rebuild and be on this team when we're competing again. And I think what he's saying is the outside force of the CBA, not being able to keep your, all your players together. You know, I think that he was kind of throwing a shade at that. Did you catch on to that, Cone? Am I way off base here? What do you think?
Nah, I think you're right. We've really run into a lot of trouble with the CBA and a lot of different, like, just kind of league happenings. Mm-hmm. I just finished writing I'm basically working on one of my YouTube videos I'm working on that I want to get done before the season starts, but it's a huge project. Is I'm making like a complete history of the Thunder video, basically. Nice. Going through and talking about how I think we're cursed is kind of the thesis of the video, is that the Oklahoma City Thunder are cursed, and I'm going to tell everyone why. And it has been insane. Some of the stuff that has went wrong for us in terms of, you know, injuries and just kind of bad luck, especially with league stuff, like the cap spike in 2016, especially, of course, that was the year when the cap spiked in a level we've never seen it spike before, allowing Kevin Durant to join the Golden State Warriors, creating like the craziest, most talented team of all time, basically. Like, of course that happens to us. Of course we run into financial restrictions with like James Harden. It's just, we've run into a lot of problems in the past with the CBA. And yeah, I think Presti has kind of been preparing for this. And I think that's part of why it almost seems like 2023 is a target year for us, both because, you know, the draft is stacked. Like, that'll be the year, like, well, we were supposed to have Chet for 2 years at that point, but Chet will have been on the roster for a full year at that point, like another year for Giddy, Dort, Shea, all these guys to kind of grow, stack draft class, and then the CBA, like figuring out what is that going to look like for the future so we do not get screwed again. I think that it makes a lot of sense to kind of make sure that you're in the good graces of whatever is going to be happening with that. Because like we talked about, the Thunder had like this great team. And, you know, if this cap doesn't spike like that and the Golden State Warriors aren't vying for Kevin Durant, maybe he comes back and just stays on the team. You know, there was also the Celtics out there as a rumored destination, so maybe he still leaves. But like, there would have been a much, like, that's a huge contender, the one that he picked out of the way. So it just, you know, it seems to always happen to us. But yeah, I think what you're saying makes sense.
Yeah, and you laid it out much more beautifully than I could. I'm still sleepy. Listen, whenever Chelsea had COVID, like, for whatever, like, I had to sleep in the living room, and the couch was not comfy, and so naturally I laid in the floor, and I didn't get much sleep that week. And you know, 2 weeks later, I'm still trying to catch up. So bear with me, guys.
No, I feel you. See, for me, my sleep schedule is completely messed up because I've been up till like 4 a.m. the last few nights working on videos. So like this morning, I woke up at like 10 and I was like, I'm still tired. I'm going to go back to sleep. And then I woke up and it was like 1:30 and I was like, what happened? So
where'd the day go?
Exactly. So right now we're on opposite schedule. So I'll just be awake right now. We can do a morning pod next time. You're wide awake. I'm half asleep. We'll figure it out.
There we go. I like it. All right, let's do the snake style. So I'm going to take another single large item here as soon as I remember what I was going to say. Okay, no, I liked what he said about Chet again. You know, obviously he had an entire press conference talking about Chet. But whenever he talked about kind of the fallout of the injury in terms of Chet, he just kind of said it would be benefit, like, you know, he thinks that it's going to end up being beneficial for Chet, but he didn't really go into detail why. In this press conference, he talked about, you know, basically all the things that we had kind of speculated he meant. You know, it's a chance for him to get to, you know, obviously be around the game, kind of get to experience and analyze the speed of the game, obviously work on his body, but, you know, be with his teammates, be with these veterans and these coaches, and really like just take a year and be a student of the game. You know, I was thinking the other day how, like, you know, you've had all these other players that have missed significant time in the beginning of their careers, and how when they're finally able to step on the court, they hit the ground, like, not even just running, like sprinting. Like, you think about Ben Simmons after missing his entire first year, like, he hit the ground like crazy. Blake Griffin, same thing. Los Angeles Clippers. He missed his entire first season, came back. I think he won Rookie of the Year. Michael Porter Jr. hit the ground running in terms of like being an offensive super, or not, I don't want to say superstar, but offensive like engine, yeah. Alongside Nikola Jokic, Embiid, you know, yeah. It was a little bit more than 1 year, but you know,
when he finally came back, he almost won Rookie of the Year and played like 30, he played like 30 games and they were like, mm-hmm. they almost gave him Rookie of the Year. That's how good he was. So yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a precedent for, you know, guys sitting out and just, you know, really just prepare, like, it's kind of just like a super long off season if you really think about it, you know, and, you know, we talk about how these guys haven't had a full off season until this season for like the past couple of years. And Chet is having, you know, and like guys in the draft don't even really have an off season because they have so much going on in terms of like draft prep, workouts for teams and, you know, all the festivities and sponsorships and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is really a chance for Chet to like get in there and work on his bag. Obviously, you know, he's on the scooter, so he's not going to be able to do a lot of work on the court, but in terms of like really like fine tuning that form, like, I mean, you could do that sitting in a chair. And I have no doubt that he's working with our guy, Chip England, who also got a shout out from Sam Presti in the press conference. So, yeah, I like that he was able to kind of lay out a roadmap for what he expects is going to help, what he expects to be beneficial for Chet Holmgren this season.
Yeah, and something that comes from Chet himself that's been super encouraging is he tweets out like every single day, like, this many days until I get to play basketball, or like thinking about basketball, or like, I can't wait to get back out on the court. Like, he clearly loves the game. And so I'm not worried at all personally. Honestly, the biggest blow is that he just doesn't get to play basketball for a while, in my opinion. And I'm sure that's killing him, because I know it'd be killing me. And, you know, it's like, this was his dream, getting to the NBA and stuff. But, you know, at first I was like, oh my gosh, like, could this be a problem for him long-term? I'm not worried anymore. You know, Presti, like you said, did a good job of reassuring, giving him some time to train, work. There's precedent for players that sit out their whole rookie season and come back, like you said, as absolute monsters when they do. So I think he's going to be really good. It also gives more time for, you know, the other guys on the roster to gel. I think Chet will be kind of a seamless fit. He's not a guy who really needs the ball in his hands. It's not like, I think it would have been a lot worse if it was like, in terms of, you know, trying to figure out how things are going to work, if it was like Giddy last season, you know, ends up getting hurt and he misses the full year. And then, you know, it's like, oh, what is this like secondary ball handler? Like, what are he and Shea going to look like? When Chet comes back next year, I think he's going to be a perfect fit. I think it's going to fit seamlessly. You know, we'll see who else we added in the draft alongside him. Hopefully it's Victor. Because now I've been dreaming about a Shea, Giddy, Dort, Chet, Victor lineup is insane to me. It's been something I can't stop thinking about. But yeah, so I really think Chet's going to be fine. I think he's going to come back, slot in perfectly, and I just can't wait to see him hoop again. So yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I feel pretty good about him coming back, and I'm 100% certain that he's really going to put in a lot of work, you know, both while he's in the wheelchair. I wouldn't be surprised if he's just walking around dribbling a basketball all the time when he's not able to walk. He's just dribbling it like off on the side as he kind of goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, what I think is like really important, you know, you talk about like his desire to be out there on the court, but he's really like, you know, still getting out there with his teammates. Like, you know, we've seen on Instagram, like he's still spending time with his teammates. Obviously he's doing the Thunder Cares events. He was at, the Scissortail Park, court opening today with Lou Dort, Lindy Waters. There might've been other players there. I didn't see any on the socials, but you know, he's out there, he's out in the community. He's out, you know, being a face for the franchise, off the court, you know, while he can't be on the court. So, you know, I think that that's going to also go a long way, and also, you know, just building the chemistry with the guys. So yeah, very, very excited. You know, obviously we're bummed to see Chet not get to play this year, but very super excited bummed to see how he's gonna, you know, kind of take this this tragedy and turn it into a triumph. So
it's just the fact that all year he was the player I wanted all year, and before he plays a single game in the uniform, bro. I was ready to start. Like, the tweets I have in the drafts still are absurd. The tweets I was going to start recklessly throwing out there the second Chet got like his first basket, man. Timeline's gonna have to wait a year to see those now. It's gonna
have
be...
him in the chamber. He was ready.
I was ready. I was gonna call Chet the greatest player of all time the second he hit his first basket again.
I know you were.
Man, you know me. You knew what I was gonna do. It's all right. It'll be fun to watch him and Victor compete for rookie of the year on the same team. It'll be fun. I wonder I think I brought this up on a different pod. I don't know. And I tried to look it up, but I couldn't find it. I don't know if that's ever happened where the top two rookie of the year finishers have ever been. Well, actually, Embiid and Saric, now that I think about it, Embiid and Dario Saric were on the same team, and they both finished top three. They didn't finish – they finished 2 and 3 because Brogdon won, but I wonder if there's ever been a 1 and 2 finish. Regardless, just kind of fun to think about.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, I mean, that was a deep cut pulling Dario Saric, but your brother is a Sixers fan, so I get it. All right, Cone, back to you, man. What's your next single large item for this I gotta stop saying post game press conference for this preseason press conference.
Oh, man, my brain's all over the place. It was gonna be that quote that I was gonna look up, and I tried to look it up and couldn't find it, and then gave up, and now I forgot about it. What was the quote? I don't remember what it was. I'll just go with something else until it comes to my head eventually.
I like it.
You know. But we do things on the fly here. I guess just kind of his continued preaching of patience, but also talking about how he almost seemed like he was almost like, I wouldn't be surprised if we were better than people think this upcoming year, mm-hmm. which people are going to say, but I feel like most times in his press conferences, Presti has been like, you know, it's a long process. Like, it's all about the process and the journey, and basically implying like, we know we're going to suck kind of thing. But he said his quote, I think, was like, you know, it was something about burn your assumptions, or like throw away your predictions. I think that was the quote. Okay, I'm combining my two here. This was what I was going for the whole time. I planned this. It was like throw away your predictions, burn your assumptions, or something like that. He's like, we're gonna punch above our weight this year, and I don't think he's wrong necessarily. I think we would have been better with Chet, but I do think we're gonna be better than people give us credit for this upcoming season. And it was just cool to see Presti kind of echo that and show that confidence in the team and be like, yeah, it almost felt like he was proud of, like, he's like, I did this. This is the team I put together, kind of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, you kind of touched on it. He said that this team at the start of the year is going to be better than the team was at the start of last year. And just as he imagines that the team towards the end of the year is going to be better than the team towards the end of the year last year. So, yeah, he's saying that we're taking steps, and you know, we're accumulating talent so much so that he said, I believe we're going to be cutting actual NBA players from our roster just because we don't have room for them. Yeah. You know, you can only roster so many people. And he's like, you know, those guys can go on and have great careers, but like, that's where we're at right now. That's the type of roster that we've accumulated. But, mm-hmm. you know, you kind of talked about he's preaching patience, but I like how he came out and said, you know, we're going to kind of let the team come out and declare themselves, not identify themselves, declare themselves, you know, kind of let them go out and see what they can do, you know, because, and I think he gave the example of Chris Paul's team, how, you know, there was all these expectations, you know, the 0.2% of making the playoffs, this, that, and another, and mm-hmm. lo and behold, we was competing for the 4 seed mm-hmm. there at the end of the regular season when everything was shut down. So I think that, you know, Presti, like I said, he's going to give the team a chance to kind of declare themselves and see where it goes from there. Now, you know, I'm not going to be disillusioned and say that we're going to make the playoffs this year, especially without Chet, you know, just because as we've lay it out many times, like, there's a lot of good teams in the West.
It
like,
is.
There's so many
good teams. I don't even know who's going to make the play-in, never mind the playoffs. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I think it's safe to say that us, the Rockets, and the Jazz are going to be in the bottom of the Western Conference.
The Spurs, too.
Spurs as well, yes, yes. And we might even be at the top of that group. Like, you never know. But that's still outside looking in terms of playoffs. Like, that's like the 11 seed in the Western Conference. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see. But I do look forward to him, you know, the team getting a chance to declare themselves. And I kind of just hope these dudes get a run, man. Like, you know, it's a running joke with, you know, casual NBA fans. Like, you know, let Shea play more than 35 games, 45 games, whatever. Like, you know, stop shutting him down. And I agree with him. Like, I want to watch Shea play basketball. Like, he's so much fun to watch. And, you know, at this point, you know, like I said, with the strength of the conference and, you know, kind of how I expect the team to perform, especially how it's designed, like, we still don't have a big man. Like, we had a hole last year because we had our eyes on Chet Holmgren. You know, it was by design. Like, you know, that was how he was tanking, and we plugged that hole. And now the hole's gone. We also lost Isaiah Roby, so we're going to be extremely undersized with Jeremy Robinson Earl, or we're going to be extremely outmatched with having to play Derek Favors multiple games, Moose in spot minutes. Like, it's going to be rough at that spot. So I still think that we're kind of designed, you know, not necessarily to tank, but not to win games. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm hoping that, you know, like, it'll be awesome to make the play in. Like, don't get me wrong. And one of my single large items was, you know, kind of impressed you talking about how they was going to a Pearl Jam concert, him and his family, and people on the street was just like, "Hey, thunder up, like, go big." I think he said, "Go big blue." And I was like, is this a Kentucky fan we're talking about? But, you know, like, you know, these guys, like, bleed thunder blue is something he said. And he was just thinking to himself, like, I can't wait for when these fans get to see this team in the playoffs again. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's this year. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there. I don't think it's going to happen this year. But, you know, at the same time, like, you know, I want to see these guys compete. I want to see them go out there. You know, it goes back to when I was on a podcast the year after Chris Paul was traded, or I guess the year Chris Paul was traded. And it was like, what's an ideal season for the Thunder? And I said, lose every game by 1 point. And he literally spit his water out.
That would have been the greatest season of all time. That would have been like people talk about, like, oh, Sam Presti, or like this team, that team's like a master of tanking, would have legitimately been the perfect tanking season.
Yeah. And but, like, you know, if you're, like, losing every game by 1 point, like, you're in the thick of it. Like, you know, you're getting these clutch moments and everything.
The question is, I know they're losing every game, but would that not be like theoretically, that's like a really good team. If you play every single game and you lose by just 1 point,
exactly,
that's like a really good team. That's the worst clutch team of all time. So
yeah,
I would have been with it.
And I mean, it's not possible because, you know, Shea's one of the clutchest players in the NBA at this point.
Exactly. So. We have Dort, who scored like 17 in an overtime. It's just not possible. Unfortunate, but yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's I'm looking forward to seeing this team play, but. You know, kind of also touching on something else Presti said, like, when this team makes the playoffs, it's not going to be because of a single season. Like, it's not just going to be because of what happens this season. It's going to be accumulation of, you know, not even just the rebuild. You know, he touched on the playoff run that Shea, Dort, and Bazley were a part of, with, you know, the Chris Paul, Dennis Schroeder, Steven Adams team. So yeah, I liked what he had to say, man. He had a lot of other nuggets. Did you have anything, any other nuggets you wanted to drop from the Presti preseason press conference?
Nothing particular in terms of, like, quotes and stuff. I think that I kind of just touch a little bit on what you were saying. Every time I watch a team raise a championship trophy, I'm like, I cannot imagine the euphoria I'd feel if that was us. Like, it would just be like one of the great, maybe might even be the greatest night of my life. The moment we lift that championship trophy, I wouldn't shut up about it for weeks, actually years. But yeah, it's just, you know, a lot of what he said, I think, like, we echo his fan. Like, yeah, I can't wait to see this team in the playoffs. It is tough to be patient in a rebuild because, you know, like, we want to see that success. That's the whole team, whole reason we're fans, is because we want to see this team succeed. And, you know, it's hard to not see the team succeed for so long. And, you know, you're like, oh, like, what's the game plan? Like, how are we going to get there and stuff like that? And you kind of just got to trust the process. Sixers fans coined that one. But I think it's really, like, it's true, is just how you've kind of got to stick with it. And I think part of all of the pain and suffering that we've been through as Thunder fans, all the heartbreak, the very close moments, I think eventually when we do win that championship, and I'm confident in this core, I think they'll win a championship at some point down the line. I think Presti's got us covered. You know, what if, like, whether it's, you know, in a few years or like 5 years down the line, it'll be incredible. And, you know, we'll have been here through the whole time. So actually, in a similar vein, I want to tell a story that I put on Twitter, but I didn't tell in the pod before. I was at a Nike store up here in New York City with my girlfriend, looking for shoes, and she found a pair of running shoes that she wanted. And so we went to go check out, and I was wearing a, like, my city edition, white Shea shirt that I got at the, Thunder shop in Oklahoma City when I went to my first game there in January. And he saw it and he pointed to it and goes, you're an OKC fan still? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, props, or like, he's like, respect, dude. And yeah. I was like, man, wait a few years, bro. Just wait. It's going to be, you know, it was unnecessary that he brought that one out. I respect the props that he gave me, but yeah, it's going to be good, man. I think a lot of people have been kind of, you know, obviously really down the Thunder, but we've gotten a lot of disrespect over these past couple years. I would love if this team just came out and shut a lot of people up, made the play-in tournament. It would hurt our draft pick, whatever, at this point. But at the same time, I don't expect much out of us. I just, you know, I'm ready to see the young guys hoop, and we're so close. We're just 3.5 weeks away at this point.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Yeah, that sounds like me. Whenever the Kevin Durant decision happened, I was at church camp. I was working at church camp, and so I already had all my clothes there and everything. And I was just like, this feels like a good day to wear this. And I wore my Russell Westbrook, the navy vertical OKC jersey shirt.
That's a good one.
And everybody was like, I see what you did there. I'm like, yes, sir. You got to rep the Brody. So
that's what you got to do, man.
Yeah, man. No, when the championship happens, like, you know, like, I'm not going to front, like, finals tickets, probably not going to be able to swing that. But when we win the fourth game in the finals, hopping on a plane that night.
Yeah, to go to OKC.
We're getting that parade going.
There is nothing that could prevent me from being at that parade. Nothing in this entire world.
It's like, I'm calling in, like, Chelsea, you know, get a nurse to watch Nova. Like, you know, like, it's happening. Like, one way or another, it's happening. But kind of last thing I wanted to touch on, you know, talking about how the Thunder are going to finish. And I just want to say, like, you know, with Chet being hurt, missing the season, Shea missing at least, you know, part of the beginning of the season, and as strong as the Western Conference is, and as strong as this draft class is,
mm-hmm.
I think it would be borderline irresponsible not to put yourself in a position to get a high pick in this draft. And I know it's a lottery, and I know we lucked out last year, and we got screwed the year before. And, you know, how many times do you want to, you know, play Russian roulette with the lottery? Like, I get all that. 100% I get all that. But I think this is, like, our last legitimate chance at, like, a high lottery pick with our own pick. Like, a pick that we can control kind of where it is, like, what range it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, as loaded as this class is, I think it would be irresponsible not to put yourself in position to where you're not taking who's left of a tier of a group that you want. You're picking who you want out of a certain tier. So, because, you know, if you can get somebody, and, you know, we're going to talk prospects here in a little bit, towards the end of the show, like, if you can get somebody that like really fits into what you're trying to do. Like if you can get like a legitimate 3-and-D wing with some like a little bit of self creation, like, I mean, I'm just saying, like,
Victor,
it's gonna be crazy. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Victor always comes back to Victor.
It always does. I want to say that that one line you just had about like the player that you want out of a tier, not a player left over from the tier, very Presti-esque. I want to give you that one because that was that sounded straight out of like a Presti press conference where he's like talking about Chet. He's like, you know, like we got lucky in the lottery and we got lucky that we were able to take the player we wanted, and not the player that was left. Like that, I can hear it in his voice, man. Clearly, you watched the press conference.
I didn't get a watch because I was driving, but I had the Facebook app open on my phone, listening in my headphones. So that was the dedication I was working with. I do remember one more thing he said that I wanted to cover. I know we've tried to close out the preseason press conference a million times at this point, but he was talking about you know, kind of how long it's going to take and how everybody has their own opinion. And he used a illustration that I thought was like ingenious. And he was basically like, if I told you not to use your phone and tell me how long or how many miles you think it is from here to Philadelphia, we would all have different answers and we'd all probably be wrong. And, you know, he talked about how, you know, when you go on a trip and you are like going to a destination, you know, you get impatient sitting in the back seat and you start to ask, are you there yet? And, you know, if you remember at the end of the season, after the postgame press conference, I wrote an article called Are We There Yet? You know, talking about how, you know, some of the players seemed like they were gunning for the playoffs this year. And, you know, it was kind of cool to see Presti kind of invoke the same thing that I wrote about. But I thought it was really insightful talking about how like everybody has different answers, you know, different pathways to what they think is success. But, you know, kind of using another thing Presti said many times at the press conference, we really just don't know. Like, we're trying to put ourselves in the best position. We're trying to give ourselves as many chances to put ourselves on the path of success. But at the end of the day, we don't know. So, you know, I appreciated that. And, you know, something else he said, it's all coming back to me now. Something else he said, you know, I think somebody asked how you would compare yourself from your first press conference to, you know, now, like whenever you know, the team first came to Oklahoma City. And he talked about the kind of like the ignorance that he had. And he basically, like, he was trying to say this, but he never got around to it. You don't know what you don't know. And, you know, Presti's been in this game and he's, you know, he's kind of learned, you know, the ebbs and flows, highs and lows, the Harden trades and the Paul George trades. Like, you know, he's been in this game. He kind of knows how it's going. You know, he's seen the CBA screw us over before. So I think that, you know, Presti's doing a good job of putting the pieces into place. That way, once he finally sees, you know, what we need, once he finally sees what the CBA is going to dictate, we can move those pieces into place once again to really push ourselves up the mountain. So very excited about that.
Yeah. The next offseason is going to be a really fun one, I have a feeling.
Yeah. Literally the last thing I have to say, and then we're going to a mid-roll, and then we're going to talk about something else. It wasn't even this press conference. It was the Chet press conference. Mm-hmm. But Presti said, you know, I'm going to say some things. Then after that, I will answer any question you have until we're talking about what books I'm reading. And I thought about like Jerry, like being the guy that would do this. It's just like everybody asks their questions. And then Jerry's like, he really takes the any question to heart. And he's like, yeah, Sam, you know, back in 2012, you traded James Harden to the Houston Rockets. How do you feel about that now? I would just love to hear, like, you know, somebody be like, I mean, you said ask anything, so like, you know, let's talk about it.
Man, we need to get Jerry out there.
He was at Media Day. I think it was the last Russ year. And he was getting questions out. Jerry was being a volume shooter at the media day.
That's what you got to do.
I was there for it. I loved it. I really enjoyed it. So I don't know if Alex is going to be able to go Monday or not. I know that they are allowing media there, but Alex was supposed to podcast with us today, but he's feeling under the weather. I think he's taking a COVID test. Hopefully everything's good there, and he's feeling better. So with that being said, that completely out of place declaration of Alex's health. We're going to hear
a word. People want to know.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to hear a word from our sponsors, and on the other side, we're going to talk a little bit draft prospects before we close this thing out. So without further ado, a word from our sponsors. Hey, guys. Just wanted to take a moment to give us a word from absolutely nobody. Well, actually giving you a word from us, because as I mentioned in the pod last week, we do have merch. This is a podcast exclusive, because as of this recording, I haven't put out any tweets about it. So for your exclusive chance to get our merch, go to shop.believe.com and search OKC. That is if you want less of a player-driven shirt that's got a nice little graphic of the cityscape, and it has Oklahoma City. It's a very clean shirt. Or if you want something a little bit more loud, you want something with that's a little bit more player-driven, you can go to bonfire.com/store/topic-thunder. Now, on that, we've got shirts supporting the Jane Gang. We got shirts supporting Chet Holmgren. Of course, we got all the awesome Shea shirts. And, of course, we could throw it back. We've got the Thunder Nation shirt. We got I Just Want to Hoop back in the Chris Paul era. And we've got the classic, the one that you need for this rebuild, Trust the Presti. So head on over to either one of those websites. That is bonfire.com/store/topic-thunder or shop.believe.com and search OKC. Hope you guys enjoy the rest of the pod. And we're back from a word from our sponsors. I just said what he was going to do. Oh, talk prospects. All right. So Cone, season is coming upon us. The college season is coming upon us. International play is already happening. I think OTE just announced kind of their schedule and their slate of games. Let me just say, there's a lot of exciting matchups happening in the overtime elite league this year. So that could be huge for that league. I just want to take the time really quick to, for us to kind of highlight, we'll just do one guy for now, because, we got a lot of games coming up to evaluate, and there's a lot of prospects in this class. Like I said, it's loaded. So, Connor, I'm going to let you start. If you say Victor Wembanyama, I'm going to roll my eyes because it's easy. But, if you want to go with Victor Wembanyama, go ahead.
All right, so let's talk about Victor Wembanyama. I can talk about someone else too afterwards, but that's just fine. Wanted to real quick. He's been killing it. Obviously looked at by most people as the number one guy in this draft class for good reason. He's what, 7'3", 7'4", and yeah. he plays like a guard pretty much, while also being an incredible defender.
Yes, almost an 8-foot wingspan. I don't think people realize that. That's ridiculous.
I can't imagine. If I was 2 feet taller and that's how long his arms are, that's absurd.
Yeah.
That's so crazy to me. I can't. How long is J-Dub's wingspan again? Is it 7'2"?
Yeah, 7'2".
Yeah. And his arms are crazy. That's 10 inches long. Or no, that's, yeah, 10 inches longer. Mm-hmm. Completely forgot how measurements worked. But yeah, it's
math's hard sometimes.
It's really difficult, man. Not a big math guy. But yeah, it's just. The stuff that he's able to do on the court, it feels like I'm watching a 2K created player. If you've ever went in 2K and just created this demigod type player, that's what it looks like. It doesn't look like it should be possible. It looks like a glitch in 2K that lets you create a player like that. It's just, it's incredible to watch him play. Even if he doesn't end up in OKC, he's the guy I'm rooting for. And I think he has the potential to be a generational type player. And I just keep thinking about a front court of him and Chet next to each other. It would just be somehow creating a better version of what Cleveland created with the Mobley and Allen connection, what they have over there. except now you've got Chet Holmgren, who's a second overall pick. You know, you can compare him to Mobley or whatever. And then you have Victor Wembanyama, who is looked at by most people as a generational prospect. He can stretch the floor. He can handle the ball, block shots at the rim. Like, the defensive potential of a team that has Dort, you know, Chet and Victor Wembanyama, as well as a guy like J-Dub with his wingspan, you know, Shea's shown some ability here and there to guard up when he puts in the work. And it, I just can't stop thinking about that type of connection. So, of course, you know me, I'm going to talk about him because he's been killing it recently. You know, people are going to talk about like, oh, you know, like his numbers aren't, it's not like he's putting up like 40 points a game or something. Like some people are like, oh, he's only putting up these stats when he's putting up similar stats in terms of like raw output to like what Luka would do. And people were like, with Luka, they're like, oh, he's not putting up like this many stats in like this overseas league. How good will he be in the NBA? And then he comes over and averages immediately over 20 points per game. And he's like, oh, scoring in this league's kind of easy. So like, it's just crazy, man. Yeah. So yeah, obviously Victor. And then, you know, another prospect that just, I'm going to take like the top two guys. I'm going to go Scoot Henderson too. Cause I'm lazy. I could talk about the Thompson twins. I'll let you get off some names, a name from Kentucky or two. But, yes. I know where you're going with it. But yeah, Scoot Henderson, just another player to take a look at. A little bit tougher in our case because he's a guard. And obviously, you know, we've got Shea, we've got Giddy already as guards. We've got Trey Mann, we've got Dort, J-Dub. He's kind of more of like a 2-3 or maybe even 4 in some small ball lineups if we really want to push it. So we do have some pretty good guard type players. I don't think Teo Maledon is going to be long for this roster. I think he gets cut. So that does open up a spot. But if we end up at that second overall pick and, you know, it continues the way it is and Scoot Henderson's available, I'd be very interested to see what we do. Do we go with him? Because, you know, in the NBA, you should go best player available at all times. We've seen teams try and pick for fit before, and that's how you get an Anthony Bennett situation in Cleveland. But yeah, so I don't really know which way we'll go, but Scoot is just an incredible, like he's going to make his own case to be first overall in this draft. I think Victor ends up going first just because I don't see a team passing up on him, but I think Scoot's going to be a guy that's going to make a case for himself too. Playing for the G League Ignite. They have like a full schedule this upcoming year. He's incredible. Like the stuff that he was already doing last year, he's now going to have a full another year because he was tearing things up last year. And then he just wasn't eligible to be drafted because of draft rules that currently exist, which we can talk about coming up soon, might change. But just like what he was already doing against high level competition, he's going to have another year now under his belt. Athletic, he can basically do everything at the guard position between him and Victor. Just even if it was just those two in this draft class, like it would be looked at as a really, really like highly touted draft class. Never mind all like the billion of great players that are in this too, that I'm sure you're going to get into some of them now.
Yeah. And, you know, just kind of touching on both guys there. That sounded really weird when I said that. Victor Wembanyama, you know, he played today in an international game. And shout out Shea Media. You know, Matt, I know he listens to the show, but he was watching the game and he was kind of tweeting. And, you know, Matt's not like a scout or anything, but he does understand the game of basketball. And something that he tweeted and he said, Wembanyama is a menace in drop coverage because not only is he watching the role man as the big, but he's watching the, like he's guarding the ball handler as well. Like that's the type of versatility you're getting out of this guy on the defensive end. Like that's ridiculous, dude. And like, this is international play. This isn't college. Like this isn't like the beginning of a college season when, you know, you're like starting to try to showcase a player. Like this is teams that are like legitimately trying to win. Like, I mean, I'm not going to pretend like I know a lot about international basketball, but like soccer, for instance, like there's leagues, like when your team does so bad, you get relegated to a lower league. Like, I'm not saying that happens in basketball, but like that's how, like, you know, the European leagues like really treat, you know, sports in general. Like that's how serious it is to them. So, I'm very intrigued by Victor. I want to see more of the offensive flashes. You know, we've kind of built him as this 3-point shooter, and he definitely has that ability, but he hasn't really shown the percentage thus far in terms of like season long. So I'm going to keep my eye on that. But then again, you know, as we've seen many times, sometimes the percentage doesn't always tell the story. You know, just kind of look at the eye test, and the eye test says it's a guy that's almost 8 foot tall shooting threes. So that's what I said about that. And Scoot, I haven't really got to dive into a lot of Scoot. I've seen a lot of highlights, and obviously like the pop, the burst, like it's definitely there. See a little bit of passing and, you know, pull up shooting potential. Just the thing that sticks out to me about Scoot is the fact that all these highlights that we're seeing from Scoot was when he was 17 years old. And it's in a professional league for the G League Ignite. Like, this guy's 17 years old. He's still growing. He's, you know, obviously he's getting older. Everybody's getting older, but like, he's still learning the game. Like, he's only going to get better. And I mean, he's got an awesome name too. Like, Scoot's such an awesome name. So yeah, I like Scoot as well. The first person I'm going to take, low hanging fruit, you know, repping him on my shirt. Got to get a UK player out of the chamber here. So we're going to go Cason Wallace. And I don't necessarily think that the Thunder will target Cason Wallace, kind of like with Scoot Henderson as well, because mm-hmm. he is a guard. He's about 6'4", 6'5". He's got pretty good wingspan, but the defining characteristic about Cason Wallace is I was listening to No Ceilings podcast today, and Tyler Rucker was talking about him. He said this guy is a complete a-hole on defense. You know, we played these exhibition games in the Bahamas against some professional teams overseas, and you know, this is exhibition, mind you. Cason mm-hmm. Wallace was picking up dudes 94 feet. Like, he doesn't care. Like, he's that kind of dog. He's got that kind of motor. He's showing them. Yeah.
Championship teams. That's what we need. We need dog.
Absolutely. And offensively, you know, his game's still developing. Like, he's super athletic. Like, he's trying to dunk on your head. He's shown the ability to shoot. You know, jury's kind of out on if he's going to be a knockdown shooter at the next level or even at this level. He's going to be playing off ball a lot because, for whatever reason, Sevier Wheeler is still the point guard for the Kentucky Wildcats. Can't explain it, but, you know, here we are. So he's definitely going to be doing more off ball this year than, you know, he did in his high school. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of flashes offensively, but defensively, like, he could be the best defensive prospect in this class. And if you look at guys like Jairus Walker, Keyonte George, Cam Whitmore, obviously Victor Wembanyama, like that's really saying something. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing Cason play, and you know, hopefully he doesn't let me down. But if I'm going, if I'm going with somebody that's not a Kentucky player, there's a couple routes I can go. Cam Whitmore is definitely the sexy name if you're talking mm-hmm. outside of Victor Wembanyama, Scoot, or even the Thompson twins for a lot of people. And I like Whitmore's game. The only question mark I really have for him is shooting. And, you know, I definitely want to monitor that as the year goes on. If Cam Whitmore adds like a consistent 3-point shot, like, he could challenge Scoot at the number two pit, depending on mm-hmm. what Scoot does in this season in G League Ignite. But, you know, jury kind of remains out. I think he shot 35% in FIBA play this year in the summer, but like, he was just completely dominating guys, just physically imposing his will on dudes. So he's going to be great at Villanova. But ironically, the guy that, you know, at this very early stage in the preseason that I've kind of highlighted that I think I want on this team is Derek Whitehead out of Duke. And I think he's 6'7", 6'8", maybe even 6'9". Like, he's a wing, can absolutely do it all on defense, like just locking dudes up. And he's really shown the ability in his senior year. He's just taken this huge step in terms of like shot making, you know, from being a guy that, you know, it's kind of relied on his athleticism to like almost overnight just developing like, you know, like stop and pop, like step back, snatch back, like double crossover, pull up, like just a ridiculous bag in terms of shooting. So obviously, you know, they've got a stacked team at Duke this year. I mean, strictly off freshmen, like it's throwback Kentucky team at Duke. So it's going to be interesting to see how he meshes with the rest of, you know, the talented Duke roster. And if he's able to, you know, if he takes more of a backseat, if he's able to shine. But, you know, seeing a guy in that archetype, you know, like a 6'8 wing that really gets after it defensively, can knock down shots. Like I was saying, like a true 3-and-D wing with some self-creation ability. Like if we add that to, you know, what we have now, that's a pretty good add. Like I think we're really cooking at that point. So, yeah. Ironically enough, I'm taking a Duke player as the guy that I'm kind of looking at going into the year, and Derek Whitehead. So.
Became the player. It became the man you were swore you would destroy.
Man, you were supposed to bring balance to the force. yeah. So I think that's it for prospects. We've been going about an hour, man. So we can go ahead and wrap up. But I want to wrap up with a segment we haven't done in a while, man. A little Shay and Nay action. So, you know, you haven't been on the podcast in a while. I haven't been on the podcast in a while either. You know, Alex had an awesome interview with Mayor David Holt. Mm-hmm. Him and Dolan, I think, have been on the podcast the past couple of times. So, you know, we haven't been on the podcast in a while. We haven't updated folks on anything in our life going on. So, Shay and A, man, what's your Shay and A for the week or past couple weeks?
Let's see. For Shay, I guess I'll just go with the YouTube channel is doing pretty well, making some content. This podcast, actually, I was just inspired to make a video about kind of what Sam Presti's plan is going forward. So now I think I'm going to make that over the next couple of days, which
there you go.
I feel like people need that. I feel like people kind of need to understand what we're doing. So maybe I can finally get people's attention with that one. Yeah, YouTube channel has just been kind of blowing up recently, which is dope. I'm excited for the season, making content and stuff like that, covering the Thunder and the NBA in general, of course. But yeah, it's been a really good time. Did a live stream with Bleacher Report for the Donovan Mitchell trade. And, you know, it's just been pretty good. Been a fun time being a guy who's creating some content basketball related. And, you know, probably the biggest Shay, though, was just the fact that the NBA is almost back, and Thunder basketball in particular is so close. Preseason is really close. We're almost there. We've almost made it through, like I said at the beginning, what's felt like the longest offseason of all time. In terms of a nay, honestly, not too many nays right now. Kind of just doing all right. I mean, the Shay injury is, of course, pretty solid nay, but that feels like kind of a cop-out since we talked about it. But yeah, it's been going pretty well. Yeah, not too much I can complain. Probably the biggest nay right now is that I'm hungry and I have to do a grocery run in the next couple of days because there's like no snacks in this apartment and I'm hungry. So you might not see me again because I might just have to eat myself.
Cone's going to go to cannibalism. So self-cannibalism at that. So
yeah, I kind of skipped a few steps there.
on the progression to being a cannibal.
Of course.
Yeah, no, I guess my Shay and Nay for the week. My Nay is definitely, you know, just everything associated with Chelsea having COVID. I mean, it was terrible for my back laying in the floor. It was terrible for my sleeping patterns. Obviously, it's terrible for her, you know, being trapped in the room for days. Terrible for our bank account because I had to miss so much work. Like, literally, we was off Monday for Labor Day. I went in for literally one stop the next day before I had to come home because we thought we had to take her to the emergency room. And then we took a COVID test and I was like, oh crap, you got COVID. And I thought I had 3 vacation days left. I only have 1. So I got like $200 paycheck one day. And, you know, obviously we got 3 kids, got a bunch of bills to pay. That's not going to do it. So
yeah,
we finally caught up. Like, you know, I got full weeks in, we finally caught up and everything. But yeah, man, like it was not pretty. You know, I feel your pain on the groceries right now. I really do. Our cupboards are bare. So, and then, as far as Shay goes, you know, my buddy has season tickets to the UK football team. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the last UK game I went to was actually when we beat Tennessee in, what year is that? I want to say 2018. Mm. It was when we snapped the losing streak to Tennessee. It was at UK, and both of our starting quarterbacks were injured, and we had to start a wide receiver at quarterback, but we still beat Tennessee. So
that's how it goes, man.
Yeah, that was the last time I was at a UK game, and, you know, I was just kind of talking to him. I was like, man, I haven't been to a UK game in a while. You know, obviously our team's really good, but, hey, number 8 in the nation right now, shout out. So, you know, I wanted to go to a game this year, and, you know, they're his season tickets, so I'm not trying to say what game I want to go to. Like, I just want to go to a game. And he's like, yeah, we'll make that happen. And, you know, we've been talking back and forth. He's like, I think I'm going to take you to the Georgia game. I was like, for real? Like, that's going to be awesome, because, you know, obviously Georgia's number one team in the nation. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got a couple of tough games in the way before that, but even if we lose one, maybe even two of those, like, that's still looking like a top, like, two top 10 team matchup, like College Game Day, like the whole works. Like, that stadium's going to be rocking. You know, last year we had a chance to beat Georgia. It was at Georgia, and we really, like, the momentum of the game went away after we didn't recover a fumble. And so, like, we're looking for revenge. We've got an NFL ready quarterback, Will Levis. Our defense is killing it. Like, I'm really excited. Like, that's my next big thing I'm really excited for. Obviously, I'm really excited to go to OKC in January, but, you know, this is coming up, I think, November 19th. So that's my big shame, man. You know, not only my first UK game in almost 5 years, but that big of a game. Never been to that big of a game.
Yeah, that's a huge one. I've never been to a football game that big. The biggest thing for me going to UVA was like us playing like Virginia Tech in our big rivalry, and when we beat them for the first time in a while, and we played ranked Miami at one point. The last time UVA has been ranked in so long. And we just barely squeaked in after beating Miami, and everyone rushed the field, and a couple of people tripped. And so my leg got caught in like the whole pile of people. So I was just trying to run out into the field, but I was losing my shoe, and I'm like, I can't leave my shoe behind. So I managed to yank it hard enough that the shoe came flying out, and I had to chase it down the field and grab it and put it back on before I could storm the field. So if you get the chance to storm the field, just to, you know, give you a heads up.
Yeah, tie my shoes super tight.
Tie them very tight, and when people start falling, just like high knees it out of there, and you should be good.
I like it. Yeah, I wasn't there when it happened, but I think it was 2007. We upset like Louisville. I remember we beat LSU when they was number one, and there was another team that we beat. But not only did we rush the field, but like they climbed up and like tore the goalpost down.
Oh my god.
Every time they did that, Kentucky got fined. So after a while they had like, I don't know, it was like collapsible goalposts. So like after the game, the goalpost just immediately came down, so nobody would ever climb on them. So if it happens and we beat Georgia, it'd be funny to see if the goalposts come down.
Only like crazy celebration story I have is when we won the national championship, which was my first year there.
Yes, that's a big thing.
It's a big thing. Of course, wasn't at the game or anything, but the day of the national championship that we won, I was actually kind of sick, so I really didn't get to celebrate because I felt like I was gonna. Of course, I wake up the morning of the championship game and I have a stomach bug, but. The game that we won to go to the national championship game, I think it was against Auburn. I ran to like the area of the like right off of the campus called the corner, and it's basically like there's a bunch of bars and like restaurants and stuff there, but that's kind of where everyone ran to go celebrate. And there was an ambulance that was stopped, and a bunch of people climbed up on top of it and stuff like that. And at one point I was standing up there, and this guy comes up to me, and he's holding a bottle of, I think it was like apple Ciroc. He's holding it, and he goes, bro, can you hold this for me? And I was like, yeah, sure. So I held it for him. And there was this bridge right over like where the ambulance was going. And he grabbed it and was climbing across like the bridge, like holding on, like trying to make his way across. And at the end, I like go back to give it to him. And he's like friends with like our starting quarterback. So I got to meet our starting quarterback because I held his friend's apple Ciroc on the night that we went to the national championship game. So that was a fun time.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, I wasn't like UK student or anything like that, so I didn't get to take part in any of these things. But anytime we have a huge win, there's a place called State Street in downtown Lexington. That's where all the fans kind of congregate. And for whatever reason, they start setting couches on fire all over the place. I don't understand it. Couches are not cheap, guys.
I don't know why that's like a go-to celebration thing. Like, I don't know where that. I know the when ODU, Old Dominion University, beat Virginia Tech. I think it was a couple weeks ago at this point. I have a couple friends who go there, and they posted videos of like couches burning in the streets. I'm like, why? Like, who's? My biggest question is, whose couch is that?
Yeah,
that is being burnt. Did they just like take their own couch and burn it? Is that like one of their roommates, and he's gonna be like, guys, where'd my couch go? And it's on fire, or like cinders in the streets? Like, I don't know. I mean, you got to do what you got to do. If you got to celebrate, you have a couch, you know, not looking to use it for sitting. I mean.
Yeah, that's what's wild, man. Like, dudes will get drunk and, like, they're volunteering their couches. I'm like, bro, what are you going to do? You're just going to sit on the floor? You're going to Indian style it for, like, your parties and, like, when you're watching movies and stuff? Like, come on now.
They're going to be like you. They're going to be sleeping on the floor.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, their back's going to be messed up and their sleeping habits are going to be screwed. So,
Yep.
Just letting you know.
And that was a great way to circle it out.
Absolutely. That's how we do it around here. But hey, Cone, appreciate you coming on and talking shop with me after I fumbled the bag last night. Appreciate your graciousness coming on again.
As always, man. It's good to get back on here. It's been a little bit.
Yep, for sure, man. And, you know, content's going to be coming, man. Like, you know, media days Monday, training camp right after that. Like,
that's Monday already? Oh, my gosh.
Season's right around the corner.
Thank God. It's been too long.
Absolute, man. But hey, you know, we're going to kind of start getting back in the swing of things. You know, we kind of got a little lackadaisical on our episodes, but we're going to be doing two episodes a week from here on out, starting, I think we'll be recording a Monday night after everything that happens on Media Day with our reactions for that. And, you know, we'll also have a podcast on the weekend. We got some guests, you know, being lined up, to kind of preview the season. So definitely keep in tune for that. But yeah, we've got a lot of stuff coming down the pike. Before we end the podcast, I just wanted to say, you guys know how close we are with Moose, Mike Muscala. And, you know, I'm sure everybody on Twitter has seen Bob Muscala on Twitter and interacted with him. And Bob's wife, Mike's mom, actually passed away today due to cancer. So I just wanted to say that our thoughts and prayers are with the Muscala family. We're definitely sending our deepest condolences. And if you haven't already, you know, reach out to Bob on Twitter. I think it's at Bob Muscala, pretty simple at, but you know, he tweeted about it, just, you know, kind of send, you know, letting him know that, you know, you're thinking about him, you're praying about their family, you know, and let them know that, you know, Thunder Nation's got their back. So, yeah, absolutely. RIP to Mom Muscala. So with that being said, hope everybody has a great night. On behalf of myself and on behalf of Cone, hope you all have a great night. God bless, and hoop when you can. And as always, thunder up.
Thunder up.
Yee-yee. Thank you for listening to the Topic Thunder podcast. Our podcast is available to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, and Google Play, or anywhere else you listen to your podcast. Be sure to leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review, and follow us on Twitter at OKC Topic Thunder. Thunder up!
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.